Well, welcome to our Wednesday evening service. I know most of you are aware, and I just want to bring it to your attention that the attunement gathering is happening at Edenvale this weekend. David's on his way there, or he's already there. And Maureen, Marilyn, Hugh, they'll all be there. And they have, I think, 27 or 30 people coming, so it's going to prove to be a great time. So we were considering some of the themes that happened in Sunday service on Monday. We have five of us who are going to expand on the themes from Sunday and Monday, and before it all begins with Dorian, we're going to have a song from Jerry.
Well, be a little high. Well, this is a song that I just learned about 10 days ago, and it's called A Certain Smile. Have any of you ever encountered a certain smile? There was just something about that smile that maybe initiated a relationship, and you felt some love moving through. But then things kind of faded, and there was a kind of a breaking apart and a temporary emptiness. But then, lo and behold, there was another smile that you encountered, and the whole process started over again, and you embarked on another beautiful adventure. Well, that's kind of what this song is about. A certain smile, a certain face, can lead an unsuspecting heart on a merry chase. A fleeting glance can say so many lovely things. Suddenly you know why my heart sings. You love a while, and when love goes, you try to hide the tears inside with a cheerful pose. But in the hush of night, exactly like a bittersweet refrain, comes that certain smile to haunt your heart again.
Thank you, Jerry. That certain smile, it might be a smile, it might be a scowl. But I think in the first line, this song spoke of the unsuspecting heart. And I think we get stale when we stop being unsuspecting. When we think we know how things are going to go, we know who's going to smile at us and who's going to scowl. And then we get thrown for a loop if something else happens. Just this moment it came to me that today is the, 50th anniversary of Martin Luther King's being murdered. Well, he didn't expect that. Though he had some awareness that it was possible. Heard recently the singer from Jamaica.
Bill Frante.
Belafonte. Harry Belafonte. Why can't I remember his name? Love his songs. He was a good friend of Martin Luther King, and had noticed that he had a tick, a bit of a twitch. And one day he said, "Martin, you're not twitching the way you were." And the answer Martin Luther King at that point gave was, "I've come to terms with the possibility of death. It's all right." He didn't twitch anymore. Now, I mean, this is a gloomy way to begin a service tonight about a death. But the greatness of this man was he loved to receive the unexpected, whatever might come, and to be in the moment, great, whatever might come. You know, we've just been through the celebration of Easter, of a person who lived his life in that way and came to a terrible end with the crucifixion, but simply faced it as he faced everything. Not necessarily always bringing a smile into it, but bringing life into it, whatever it is, life. I'm a bit on fire this evening, and I hope I don't go up entirely in smoke in front of you, but from this afternoon, reading The Pulse of Spirit that just came out today. It's supposed to come out every Wednesday, doesn't always, but this week it did. And it's of David's words from Sunday, which we may, if we can think back to Sunday, 3 days ago, remember the fire that was burning then in the dome, and is, my goodness, the pages are hot. Hot off the press, as they say, but hot in a passionate way. Read that pulse, and as I did this afternoon, and woke up to the fact of life is happening, and it's happening amongst us and happening between us, you and me and you and me and you and me and all of us together, something glowing here that will not be stopped by the walls of this room, or there are no walls around the ranch except the Rimrock and Green Ridge. It's a well-secluded valley, but that's not going to stop anything going forth. The richness of what we can know together of that omnipresent, omni-available, remember that word? Omni-available love. We have the privilege of sharing that with one another and letting it blaze. Letting it happen. And so what if somebody takes a pot shot at us at some point? My case, maybe it'll be a disease. Who cares? In the Willa Cather's novel, The Death Comes to the Archbishop, he says, on his deathbed, he says, somebody's talking about, oh, the disease, flu or whatever it was that he was dying of. And he said, I shall not die of a disease. I shall die of having lived. And that's the whole point. You go till you can't go anymore. But while you're going, you go. And if we do that together, as we do that together, what a glory. What a glory shines in this glorious world, because if glory is shining forth from us, what can the world be but glorious?
glorious. Thank you, Doreen. I was thinking what a wonderful opportunity we have, because the English language is full of so many glorious words. Omni-available, was it? I was going omnivore. We've been talking about love and how it's really quite a floppy word unless you get really careful about the circumstances and the situation and the relationships that you're using it in. The other word that's really caught me this week is psychic break. And I tried Googling that, and it doesn't come up. Psychotic break comes up. Well, I don't think any of us are psychotic, although we might be, and we just don't believe it. Anyway, my point is that there is so much that's different about each one of us, and yet we are all here because there is the glory and the expression of life living. There was a phrase in the hippie days, that dates me, about trees treeing. And why isn't man manning or womaning? And, you know, so this is a play on words that I was thinking about when I got up here. We're so different. And the expression of each of us in the fullness of our life and living is really what makes this glorious opportunity juicy, with different flavors and just like one big fruit salad. We could, yeah, I know. We could all be, yeah, that's where I was going too. What a wonderful fruit salad we all are. But you get what I'm trying to say, perhaps.
We're all mentally ill, is
that? We should all be certified, right?
Organic.
So, a psychic break is really a break from the reality that everybody else is experiencing. You know, somebody can look at somebody else and say, you must have experienced a psychic break because my world isn't like that. And if you start to define us, if we start to lose sight of the fruit salad and just look at the blackberries or the bananas, then we're going to miss the glory of the whole and the wholeness. So I'm really working with my reality is coming through me in this moment, is expressing through my heart and my mind and my mouth. And your reality is coming through you sitting there and listening to me. I won't ask you what's going on in your mind as you listen to me, but you're sitting there with your hearts open, I trust, and available. And you didn't use this word in our prep. We had a wonderfully juicy conversation in the prep time for this time. But somebody, I think, used the word curious, or at least in the conversation, that's what came up in my mind. Curiosity. And don't we need that when we meet somebody who's different? Or when something happens, how about, you know, I love all these wonderful people, and then somebody does something that's really quite mean or unexpected, and that happens. What are you going to do? Say, oh, that, you know, they have a psychic break from reality? Or are you just going to say they're very different and maybe I need to take a look at things? Maybe I need to be maintain the wholeness of my own world and remember that there's a fruit salad that we're all part of. And remember that my part of it is just as important as everybody else's, because we're mixing and making those flavors together. but it happens. So what am I going to do? I'm going to close down and I'm suddenly we become whatever we are, 40 different people instead of one community. You close down into this is my reality, this is how I see the world, and I believe this, and people shouldn't that, and the government ought to, and everything has suddenly got tighter, and I'm taking it all personally. Everything that's happened to me has caused me to be the way I am. Well, you could look at it from the other point of view. You could step outside all of that and go, well, isn't that interesting? What happened to me has actually brought me to right here and right now. Everything that's happened to me has brought me right now to this moment. I think Jane said it on Sunday. We come, each one of us comes from a long line of survivors. I mean, that sounds really weird. The first time I heard it, it sounded really weird anyway. But if our parents hadn't survived, we wouldn't be here. If their parents hadn't survived. So we come from a long line of survivors. And that's life moving in whatever direction it can to keep manifesting. It's not going to get stopped by a dead end. You know, if one person passes off the planet, I don't know how many people pop into the planet at the same, are born into the planet at the same time. I think it's more than equal. You know, as people leave, there are more people, more beings taking up residence on this planet. Life is constantly, first of all, it's constantly on the move. Secondly, it's constantly glorious. There is no other way to be a tree or a flower or a horse or a cat or a budgerigar. There is simply life horsing. So what about life sherrying? Life ruthing? Because the combination and the expression is not going to be stopped. I can opt out. My mind and my heart can say, uh-uh, I'm not up for this. No, go away. You know, keep away from me. I'm done. And what are you doing? You're cutting something off. You're cutting something down. And who's it hurting? The contraction is what happens. I think we were talking, and I forget where, of how much of our being is unseen but tangible. The smallest part of what, the smallest part of us is what you can see. And if that's true, how much of what you can't see but you can feel is present? And are we going to reduce from our life experiences everything down to this skin, and it's all going to stay inside, and I'm not going to say a word? Or am I going to shine regardless, come through regardless? Am I going to be stopped? I love the, I guess it's an urban legend, but it may be true, of the little flower poking up through the pavement in New York City. Because life will go on lifing wherever it can. And if you cut yourself off, life will just find another way to move through and keep on moving and adding to this fruit salad. You know, there is fruit out there that we know not of yet. And it's all on its way in here. So I really appreciate having this wonderful, strange, that's not negative, by the way, family to be part of, to feel myself in. If you're laughing, you're probably recognizing that you're strange. So it's just part of the wholeness of what is occurring on the planet at this time as we see each other and recognize each other and share that expression, which we call love, that cannot be anything other than the fullness of who we are in this moment. Everything I've experienced has brought me to now. Who's coming next?
I'll be ready for this crazy coconut. Otherwise known as Life Garying. Actually, really interesting thing came up for me while listening to Ruth. It's something that I've been pretty deeply meditating on for some time now. It's the question, what is reality? Just go straight for the big ones. I have a reality, you have a reality, that person has a reality. There's all these different realities. And then there's the reality. Can an illusion be a reality? You guys think, yeah? I think so, because we're doing it all the time. A reality, I guess, is the experience that you're having about what's real, which includes beliefs, assumptions, paradigms, and programming. You know, I have my reality, but how many other realities have I picked up along the way through life that are now composing my reality? Oh, I like this part. Okay, I'll believe that. Oh, that's a really great way of doing things. I never thought about it. I'm going to make that my reality. Didn't even know that was possible. And then I have this experience that I create based off of my ideas of what's real. And somebody else has some other ideas of what's real. And maybe our ideas don't meet in the middle. I guess the point of this is that reality is what we make of it. Anything's possible. And yet we have this thing called a psychic break that we're talking about that could also be defined as like maybe the fall in consciousness, a state of separation, a state of disconnection, maybe living out of an illusion as if it's a reality. Because if we know from all of the high sciences and all the high spirituality and high teachings, everything is connected. It's just one whole unit with all these different multiple perspectives of experience. To think that my little separated perspective is what's real, especially if I look back and see that it's constantly shifting and changing and forming as I learn and grow and expand. Oh, what is reality? I didn't really mean to go here. Didn't talk about this before. But it sparked. And so we have this thing called a subconscious mind. Right? And inside of this is this, what I like to call mass subconscious of humanity. Like there's the mass consciousness of humanity that we all are part of. It's the big soup, fruit salad, that we're all swimming in. And not like a fruit soup. Well, that could be tasty too. And it's just there. It's there. It's part of all of our experience. We took it on when at whatever point we decided to or just woke up and realized, wow, I'm a human. You take on what's what's in there, that collective that we all share. And somewhere inside of there is like a psychic break. It's also everything that's went before us through the evolutionary process. And then we have our conscious mind, which is like the intelligence, intellect, the ability to reason and figure things out. And then we have like a higher sort of spiritual mind, almost, what I'm calling it. It's so many different names, I'm sure. But it's this constant, ever-present flow of all the good stuff, baby. Insight, inspiration, imagination, love, compassion. This is the quantum field, and it's always there, and it's always available to us. The thing is that most of the time, I think, and this is a teaching, so I'm not alone, I think that we're just mostly running around between the subconscious and the conscious mind, recycling stuff from the past, recycling stuff from old realities that we've picked up along the way and bought into from other people and the world at large around us. And we're just like recycling those that consciousness. And so we call that thinking. Well, it's certainly one type of thinking. There's more than one way to think. Because on the other hand, we have this ever-present flow of divine knowing, almost call it, that is available to interact with the conscious mind also and turn the machinery of the mind in a different way, which produces a new reality. Because you've created the reality that you're living in. We've all got different ideas of what reality is. And there will always be someone who's trying to sell you their reality and invite you into their reality of what's real for them. And hence, we're always inviting people into our reality as well. Maybe that's a nice invitation. Maybe not. Maybe you're inviting someone to be angry. Maybe you're inviting someone to be peaceful. Doesn't matter. The point is, we can choose. I can choose whether I want to engage in your reality in way of seeing the world and experiencing it, or if I want to engage in this one, or if I don't want to do any and say, no, I'm going to live right here in my reality because this is what's working for me right now. Or just pick a little bit from there and a little bit from here and create a new one. What is this constant ever-flowing source that's available to us? I believe that's love. Simple. That is love. That is the pure source essence of creation. And it refracts in so many different ways. Like there's so many different expressions of love. We were talking about how some other languages don't even have a word for love. They have a word for compassion, appreciation, affection, attraction. And somehow we seem to like use love as this kind of intermediary word that we can just like put anywhere to make it mean all kinds of things. Right? Like if I say I love you, I could be saying that I appreciate you as a friend. I could be saying, I am romantically attracted to you. I could be saying, I recognize the divinity that exists in you. Might not like some of the other things that are showing up, but I recognize that and I love you. I could be saying, my heart just swells when I'm in your presence. And I am so excited to just be in the vibration that is the glory of who you are. I love you. You know? Now, no one of those types of love is greater or lesser than the other. They're just different expressions. For different types of relationships, different dynamics. And when we start to filter out that love a little less and less and less and less and travel further down this scale, then it shows up as something different than maybe appreciation and compassion. Maybe it shows up more as like malice and judgment or something else. But it's still on the same scale. It's just love showing up and expressing fully, or less, almost not at all. And I think that scale is life. That's life. That's life. It's showing up everywhere, all throughout creation. It's just this scale of love. And that's how you can say love is God, love is one, love is all there is. It's because it's all love, expressing through unique qualities, flavors, and to different varying degrees of brightness. What's that called? Exposure? Like on a camera or something? We open up the brightness, shut it down. Yeah. So how well is our expression with each other allowing the exposure of love? Are you exposing the love that's already present in each particular unique dynamic with everyone in your world? And are we allowing ourselves to be exposed to that flow of love, the constant presence of spirit that can do the work to change reality? Since it's malleable, we each got a different one. There is an absolute reality that exists, and then there's relative reality. We all have our own relative reality. And when we allow, open, choose, and point towards to allow the absolute reality to infuse our relative reality, well, now we're living the mission that Christ came to live. We're being the example and the change of what's possible for a new humanity. And we're changing reality from the inside out. So, thank you. Let's enjoy that film.
Thank you, Gary. I was just thinking while you're speaking, if the kingdom of heaven is at hand, what's the problem? If we live in this soup of infinite possibilities, what is the problem? Because if we don't like what we've got, we could choose something else. Because guess what? There's infinite possibilities, right? Nothing's held from us. Kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's not just over there. It's right here. We're in it. We're living in it the whole time. You were speaking about reality and relative reality. Ultimate reality and relative reality. I think there is an ultimate reality. You see it one way, you see it another way, I see it another way. So what is that? Perspective. We each have our own perspective of what reality is for us. Where does that perspective come from? Well, it's come from things that we've experienced, things that we've learned, but mostly things that we've held on to and labeling them, this is the way this is. And immediately what that does is it cuts us off from the field of other possibilities, of which there are an infinite number. So we constrict ourselves, we constrain ourselves, that whole psychic break has to do with the acceptance of our perspective as being the only way it is. What a prison to live in, a self-imposed prison. We have the task, I guess. We were designed to bring the glory of that ultimate reality here and now. Each one of us, sitting here, standing here, there's no time during our lives that we don't have that, not only possibility, but if we're to fulfill our what we were designed to do, requirement to bring that reality into expression, into form, right now, in every moment. So if that reality exists, what's the problem? Why don't we just take that on and express it? Well, again, it's because of the psychic break. It's because through whatever reason, maybe it's been disappointment, disillusionment, through our lives, maybe we just don't believe anymore that it's there, that it's a possibility, that our expression rightly is an expression of glory, each in our own way, each quite unique, but nevertheless of glory. What, me? Glory? I'm not capable of expressing glory. What a terrible belief to have taken on and to continue holding on to. Because there is nothing else that is going to allow this world to change except as the glory of who we really are individually and collectively as humanity is brought into expression. I don't think there's any other answer, actually. If you can come up with one, I'd like to hear it. You speak about ecological problems, you speak about financial problems. When you get right down to it, what's the answer to those problems? As Gary was saying, if you go back in that spectrum of love far enough and it gets weak enough, then you begin to find strange things coming through. Because it's all love, it's all fueled by the one universal energy, universal power, which is love. That's the way I term it. But if you cut it back enough until it's weak, then you get some strange distortions coming through. What's going to clear those distortions from the pattern of humanity? Only glory. And only your glory, my glory, not someone else's glory, not supporting someone else to bring their glory. That's why cults are doomed to fail. Because it's built around someone who may well be bringing a glorious expression, inspiring. And then the rest of the people involved are just supporting that. Well, we'll support him or her to do that. They can bring their glory and we're right behind you. We can assist you to do that, to bring your glory. It doesn't solve anything. In this community here at Sunrise Ranch, it will not thrive, and it's thriving pretty well, but I think there's still more to come. And that more won't come until each one who comprises that community bring their own glory and express that in everything that they do, and not leave it to someone else. With the best of intentions, to support someone to bring about a change in the world through their glory. It will not happen that way. And I don't believe emissaries of divine light as a body of people who want to bring about change in the consciousness of humanity. We will not succeed until we get that it's up to each one of us who are interested in this project, in this commission, to bring our own glory online and not leave it to someone else. And there are ways that we can do that. We can do that in our work days. We can do that during service time. What is happening right now as I'm speaking somewhat differently to the people who've gone before me, and no doubt very differently to the way Jane will when she comes and takes my place here. But how are you relating to me now? Is there space for something to be, firing between us, like neurons firing between us, each one of us a neuron. And if we're open to it, then that energy can be firing between us, whether you're speaking, whether you're sitting, doesn't matter. We have equal opportunity to bring that energy into the picture. Glory by association doesn't bring anything. It can be inspiring, it could be a starting point to recognize glory in someone else's expression. But if it stays there, if that's all it is, and it doesn't inspire one to bring one's own glory, then it won't do the job. I'm feeling pretty passionate about that, and this last pulse of spirit really brought it home to me that this psychic break, being the separation from that ultimate reality, from that flow of infinite possibilities, is a choice for each one of us. It may be a very unconscious choice, and I'm assuming that it is, otherwise we wouldn't make that choice. But it is a choice, and we can choose something else. We can choose to fill in that separation, to relate to that ultimate reality, to recognize the perspectives that we've held on to and release them, knowing that there's something different that will take its place. Because when there's a psychic break, very often there's a space that's left that can be filled in with what I might call a substitute. And that substitute may be someone else's inspiration, may be someone else's, a text that one has read and been inspired by. But that's ultimately not going to bring the direct relationship with and connection to what I'm calling ultimate reality. It will not bring the fullness of who we are into our worlds through that substitute. It may serve us for a while, but at some point we have to release that and move into the fullness of who we are. And living here at Sunrise Ranch, we have plenty of opportunity to do that. So I'm enjoying being here. Ruth and I leave again on Tuesday, and it's been a wonderful time to be here. And I'm so grateful to feel so much a part of this community and a part of what it is that we're doing together in terms of actually bringing that glory into the world for people to initially experience, associate with, and then identify with themselves in their own expression. That's the invitation that we extend. So good to be together in that. Jane.
What a glorious evening. I am really moved by the invitation that we get to be ourselves. And the beautiful way that certain smile, that certain neuron firing, you know, that certain piece of fruit. I don't think I covered all the bases, but I got some of them. I was, I'm aware of some of what has been brought regarding the ways in which we have stopped being our radiant selves. I did this exercise in an event here many years ago, and I just saw it was on Facebook, but it was the exercise about oppression or privilege. On Facebook it was called privilege, but when I did it, it was talking about oppression. And we were all in a line, and the person would have you take a step forward or backward depending on whether it was a yes or no answer. And for example, have you ever been mocked for being poor? Take a step back. Have you ever been given attention because of your sexuality? Take a step back. Have you ever gone to college and never had to think about it? Think about paying for it. Take a step forward. And, you know, I was one of those people that had a lot of the ones where it ended up being a lot of oppression, feeling poor, feeling sexual at a young age. There's so many. We all have them. But what it brought to my mind is the limitation of how my glory comes through when I believed all those things back along the way. And we did believe them, because when someone, I remember going to, in elementary school, so proud of the fact that I made, sewed my this dress. Because back when I went to school, y'all got new clothes for school, but everybody else bought them and we made them. And I was so proud, and I walked in and someone said, "Nice green sack, Jane." on the first day of school, and I had made this dress, and I loved it. It was green corduroy. I still remember it. I never wanted to wear it again. But it was one of those are the big ones where you're standing in pride of something you've just done, having glory in it, and someone, those are when the biggest wounds happen to us, when we think we're doing something wonderful. I remember back reporting, thinking I was being a very good girl, reporting, this is back along the way when, I won't go into the details, but I was telling someone information, like, I'm coming to dinner, so just in case you're keeping track. And they said, you know, you're wasting my time. I mean, you're one person, it doesn't really matter. And it was expected that I would do that so that I wouldn't be imposing on the kitchen. And so here I was being kind and thoughtful, and the person just did this well, it was just hurtful. And it was a break in my own heart. But the only reason I'm sharing it is those things have happened to everybody in this room. Especially when you think you're shining and someone then tears at you. There is a way in which your glory ends up being dimmed because you don't want that to happen again. You really feel like being your glorious self is risky. Because you might not fit in, you might actually offend somebody. And there is this powerful place that all the speakers have brought of a trustworthy orientation. Because when somebody was just, I can't remember who was talking about ways in which we think we're supposed to be and how other people think we're supposed to be. Like, I have this experience that when you're friends with somebody, you work it out. And when that friend has a different reality of when it gets tough, I just leave. Those are big time differences. But it is the thing of like, I love you a lot and I'm going to be available to work it out. And when someone doesn't want to do it, you start thinking, I must love wrong. Or something must be wrong with me that I'm not worth the effort. And anybody else have that experience? Thank you. Thank you. It's like I'm not the only one who feels inadequate in the loving and friendship reality. But it is. I know there's all kinds of books about how to do it better. And I know we have circles of how to learn how to communicate with each other. But there are things where just being yourself feels risky. And the idea of following someone else's glory is so much safer. Like, I'll be with the shiny ones. I'll just be with them and be smiling because they're so great. And I'm part of their crowd. I'm part of the people who love them. Aren't you all part of this wonderful group of people? I don't have to do anything, just be around them. How unfulfilling. Especially if they're a banana and you're an orange. Seriously, I mean, that fruit salad thing's got me going. Trying to think of all the fruits, like if everybody could say what kind of fruit they would want to be.
Gooseberry.
What?
Gooseberry.
Gooseberry. No, nobody else in the room would want to be a gooseberry because we don't even know what they are.
They're delicious.
What's that?
Yes, they're
This might seem like a tangent, but I just want to... And speaking of realities, we live in a highly technological world where people are learning more and more how to use technology, how to do things in the way it will work financially and a way in which you will be effective in the world. So, you know, how to market, how to get your name out there. So this morning on my walk, one of these was on everybody's driveway. It is a flyer with a rock and a rubber band. So this is someone's version of advertising. They're throwing them in everybody's driveway. And I thought, it's... $99 to have your drain cleaned.
In case the rock gets stuck in it.
This person believes this in this reality. I mean, and I'm not saying this to mock them. I'm just saying, if you want to talk about different realities coexisting, this is a rock, a rubber band, and a flyer. Marketing.
Very effective. Your marketing to all of us.
Well, I have to say, I picked up one, and I thought, well, it's on, maybe the first one I saw on my walk, I thought, well, maybe it's the guy who lives there was carrying it so he didn't forget something. You know, like, oh, I'm supposed to call the drain guy. And then I noticed them on everybody's. And then when I got to my house and there was one in my driveway, I thought, this is really significant at some level. So I thought, I would bring it. Maybe not. Maybe not.
It's very creative.
Well, it's creative, but it does reflect the... someone's thinking at a level and a way that's very different than me. And somebody who has a lot of rubber bands and rocks and a lot of time on their hands or a lot of kids, then they can get them to do it. There are ways in which we're doing that in our world where we're approaching it from a way that nobody else understands or is outdated according to everybody else, but it is the way in which we think we will be effective. I really am not doing this to mock this person as much as to say, wow, the different ways that are out there of people thinking and putting themselves out there, how open am I to the revelation of glory through a human being that's different than the way it comes through me? Can I, I spoke about this the other day about turning the other cheek. Can I stay present, radiantly loving, when I don't necessarily understand the pattern that the glory is coming through? So if I listed all the things that I felt oppressed about in my life, would it be easier then for you to listen to me and say, well, that's why she is the way she is? Forget about it. I mean, I couldn't list them all, and neither could you. It's kind of silly to think about how many ways we have been educated to be a certain way. Did you have siblings? That makes a big difference. Did you share a bedroom? That makes a big difference. I slept in the same bed with my sister till I was 20 years old. But everybody in my neighborhood did that. I mean, that's just the way it was. Everybody had a double bed for two kids in a room. Bunk beds was like high class. And I know that, see, now you know why I am the way I am. But, I mean, and you might think, well, that's really, now it's considered child abuse.
What?
It is, like, to have two people, like, the potential for sexual exchange. I'm serious. I am serious. There are people who, you can't adopt a child unless they can have their own room in their own bed. That's just the reality of the world right now. Even though they might finally get to be at home, that's just the way it is. This is the opportunity for victory. To not live in the anxiety of the future and not live in the grief of the past, but be in the radiant presence where you're going to bring yourself knowing not everybody's going to get it. But there was that certain smile. There's that certain vibration that is speaking in tongues. The language of love is speaking in tongues to everybody. And something magical will happen when you just present yourself. And throw a few rocks on people's driveway. So thank you all. I really do appreciate the diversity, the passion, and the accuracy of the words spoken tonight. So thank you very much, and sleep well.